Just a bit of Franz Joseph Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. Dr. Robert Barrett joins us here in Studio A, conducting, if you can't, well, of course you cannot see, but conducting for Haydn and our board operator here as we give you just a taste of what will follow here in this last hour of Issues, Etc. today. Dr. Robert Barrett is founder, musical director, and conductor of the American Contrarai, and he will be narrating, and what is it, the Ariana String Quartet will be performing Haydn's Seven Words from the Cross, Seven Words of Christ from the Cross at noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood, Missouri, not far from where we sit right now. Dr. Barrett, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Wonderful to be back. And I was conducting Mr. Craig, your wonderful engineer, on when to fade and go to Todd Wilkin. How's that for starters?
Well, I'll tell you what, it saves my producer an awful lot of trouble, too.
Well, there's Jeff on the other side of the window. He's already sleeping because it's Haydn.
Now,
he's making a vicious mistake.
We are usually together here in the studio talking about the likes of Johann Sebastian Bach and these things. And some people might find it unfamiliar, first of all, Haydn's name, but also this work, Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. Who is a Franz Haydn?
Let me segue into that, Todd. I heard Christoph Wolff, the great Bach scholar, Harvard musicologist, just a few days ago. And he said, and I am quoting Mr. Christoph Wolff, there are three great disciples that followed after Bach. Haydn, Franz Joseph Haydn, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Ludwig Beethoven, who owed very much to Johann Sebastian Bach because they studied his music, they revered his music and his great gift. Franz Joseph Haydn, well, he's the papa of symphonies. He's the papa of the string quartet. And by that I mean he created the forms of the symphony, the modern symphony, in four movements. He created the forms for the string quartet, and he wrote 100 of each or more for each medium. Can you imagine that in a lifetime? I can't. Plus, he wrote the Four Seasons. I guess he just calls it the Seasons, not the Four Seasons. He wrote the Creation. He wrote many oratorios and masses for the church. And here, the marvelous thing about this work, Franz Joseph Haydn wrote an hour and a half of music, not nearly that, just about an hour and 20 minutes. An hour and 20 minutes of music for the Seven Words of Christ without writing a word. Todd, he wrote pure music. His first two settings of this work were for big orchestra and then just the medium of four wonderful instruments, two violins, viola, and a cello, the string quartet. Not a word in it, but yet it's a meditation. It's a musing on the Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. It's just amazing to me.
What did we hear as we began the program there? What words were that? Was that a musical interpretation?
No words there, Todd, because that was the beginning of the introduction. He wrote a prelude. And in that prelude, there's loud, there's soft, there's dynamic, slow, and then it's very percussive with forzandos, then it's absolute serene. Haydn had a marvelous way to introduce his symphonies with a slow movement. And in it, he expressed here in particular, we're preparing for the greatest drama that man has ever known, the death of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Haydn was a very devout Christian. He was Roman Catholic, to be sure. He wasn't Lutheran like you and I, and we sit here and smile as I say that. But to be sure, he played organ when he was 7 years old for the Mass. He played violin. He was a wonderful string player, and he conducted and he composed. Well, I was a devotee of Haydn already when I was 7, 8 years old because I'm a violinist. You might know that. That's my major violin.
I did not know that.
And I played. I must have played 30 or 40 of Haydn's string quartets. I own both sets, the complete string quartets of Haydn, and it's two big, thick books for violin one, two big books for violin two big books for everybody in the quartet. And it's just wonderful to play his music. You feel like you're in a creator's living room. That's the way you feel. And Haydn, like Bach, felt he was handmaiden in the idea of creating something back for the praise and the glory of our blessed Lord. Does that say something and enough about Mr. Haydn?
Well, I think it says the important thing that yes. needs to be said.
Okay.
Before we go to this first piece, what do we know about the piece in general, The Seven Words of Christ from the Cross, why it was written, what's its occasion? Very briefly, if we would.
I could be long, but I'll try to be brief. Here, his fame had spread. We ought to give him the years first. 1732, so he was 18 years old when Bach died. And he lived till 1809. He died when Beethoven was just in the beginning of the middle part of his productive life. And so you see, he had touchstone with both Bach and Beethoven. Well, his fame had spread throughout Europe that he was really a wonderful writer for strings and for string quartet. And so the cathedral at Cadiz, Spain, way over in Spain, so far from Austria, and I'm saying that because today in an airplane we can be there in 2 hours and land and be comfortable in the airport. But in those days, that was weeks of travel by a chariot, you know, and taking your nights here and there. But they had heard about him at the cathedral in Cadiz, Spain, and the clergyman there commissioned him to write music for Good Friday, so that when the bishop would come out and be before the altar and say the first word of Christ and then have a meditation and a prayer on it, then he said, make music on that word. They made music on every word in that way. It was to be a long interlude, if you will, at the beginning. But he actually, I took the Latin text. See, he did three versions, the orchestral, the string quartet, and then the full setting for choir and orchestra. And he did it in Latin. He has the Latin before him. And you can hear Pater in this next thing that's coming up. Pater. It's a pleading to the Heavenly Father. Pater means father in Latin, or Vater in German. And it just comes back hauntingly through his first word, which we'll hear in a few moments. Tiroda. And so on. And then, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. You're very familiar. I wanted to get into the first word here, first of all.
Set us up for what we're going to hear.
Yes. The first word of Christ that we will hear, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is Luke 23:34. And you're a student of Latin. There may be a few out there in cars driving or at home, but it's so short. It has a beautiful rhythm to it and a sound, and it's close to what Haydn writes here. Pater, dimitte illis, non enim sciunt quid faciunt. Or in German, Vater, verzeihe ihnen, denn sie wissen nicht, was sie tun. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, these are the words that are in the choral text. And Todd, what a beautiful meditation in Concordia Maplewood. Pastor Lou Enzer has been so gracious to invite the Ariana String Quartet's giving itself for this. And this will be the basis of my meditation. And then we'll hear the music. Lamb of God, surely you have borne our sorrows. With your stripes we are healed, Lamb of God. You bless those who persecute you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. As a lamb before her shearers is silent, so you do not open your mouth. You are cut off from the land of the living. It is for transgressions that you are struck. You are oppressed. You are afflicted. But you did no violence, nor was deceit even in your mouth. You did no evil. You, when reviled, did not revile again. You, through suffering, did not threaten. You bear our sins in your body on the tree. You are not overcome by evil, but you overcome evil with good. When reviled, you bless. When defamed, you entreat. O Lamb of God, I come to you. We are hearing the introduction just for a moment once more, but we will turn to this Lamb of God. Surely you have borne our sorrows. And the whole thing here dwells on the patience of Christ on the cross when he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Haydn's treatments of Christ's words from the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was performed by the Vermeer String Quartet in residence at Northern Illinois University. And then noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood, it will be performed along with narration by our guest, Dr. Robert Barrett, by the Ariana String Quartet. That's at Maplewood Church, the Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood. Dr. Robert Barrett of the American Contrari is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin, and you're listening to Issues, Etc. What did we just hear?
Well, to me, we heard the amazing thing that Pater, Father, Vater in German, forgive them, for they know, and that dee-da-da, he just pleads with the Father in heaven in his, the German word is Geduld, in his patient way. Only the Son of God could have been so patient. And Haydn picked that up, and I felt it was deeply in the words, and then the quiet meditation on the forgive them. You know, Todd, I'm reminded here with an example. Here Haydn writes the seven words of Christ without any choral word at all, solo or chorus. Stravinsky did much this same thing in his history, Du Soldat, History of the Soldier. Which soldier? A Russian soldier. After World War I, comes back home, finds his parents gone, dead, house burned, sister dead, brother dead, everything destroyed. What could he do but go to the tavern and drink and get drunk? And there, I'm really condensing this quickly.
Sure.
He sees the violin on the shelf, and he picks it up, and he can play a little, but with the encouragement of the devil and the world and everybody around him, he got to be a great violinist in a hurry in this history du Soldat, which is scored for 13 instruments, some of them strings, some of them winds. But the amazing thing about this, and here comes my example, very near the end, I was shocked when I heard it the first time, here comes a mighty fortress in the most disjunct, dissonant, kind of a disheveled way, clanging and harshness, and you could still recognize the tune very well, but there was so much evil fighting against it, and it seemed almost evil per se itself. And I thought, what did Stravinsky do here? Why did he do this? There are no words. He doesn't have a program note why he did this. Why a mighty fortress at the end of A History of a Soldier After World War I? And after I had done a couple of student groups here in USA and rehearsed them and got them prepared and did a beautiful job on the music, I still didn't understand the why. I went to Japan and prepared a graduate school of really pros there. And I couldn't believe again, here comes this, a mighty fortress. And my goodness, in Japan, they really got to the disjunct and to the dissonance of it. Why did he do it? And finally, it dawned on me as we prepared to do it there in Tokyo. Stravinsky placed it here to say, Church, if you had been alive, really alive, and if you had been proclaiming back in 1914 and 12 and the years before it that led into it, we wouldn't have had this world war. Had you been the church of proclamation, had you been the church, a mighty fortress, and I think there, Todd, he was speaking to us Lutherans. I was really, in my preparation in Tokyo, I learned that Stravinsky was a devout Christian. I thought maybe he was of the Jewish faith, he was of another faith, he was a Christian, and he was talking to us. Church, if you're alive, if you're proclaiming, if you really believe Jesus Christ, you get out there and preach him in your strongest, best, winsome manner, and this history of a soldier would not have occurred. I believe that was his message from within the church to the church. It's possible. I'm not saying it's... But there, without words, he preached something. Haydn, in this way that we're hearing it today, and we'll have the opportunity to hear all the words. And I'll try my best on Friday, Todd, Good Friday, Karfreitag.
Mm-hmm.
To draw the best musicology and the strongest theology together for the discipleships of those sitting there for nourishment on that day.
Dr. Robert Baird is here in Studio A with us in the last hour of Issues, Etc. We're looking at, actually listening to, Franz Joseph Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. We have heard one. We're not going to be able to hear them all. If you want to hear them all, you need to be at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood, Missouri, this Friday at noon. That is the traditional time for Christians to remember Christ's crucifixion in the hour of his death and his suffering on Good Friday. It's noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood. Dr. Barrett will be narrating, and the Ariana String Quartet will be performing Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. When we come back from this break, we will hear a few more words. We will end with the earthquake, the death of Jesus himself. Dr. Robert Baird is founder, musical director, and conductor of the American Contorai. If you have a question or a comment, we might have time for some phone calls on the other side of the break, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You are one who has lived in rebellion against him. You have treated him as if he wasn't there, as if you had gotten rid of him. Sin ultimately is the attempt to murder God and get rid of him and put yourself in his place. We are unmistakably sinners, and there's no hope for us except if we're not going to answer for our sins. The only hope is that somebody else would.
In good preaching, the sternness of the law is always answered by the sweetness of the gospel. You'll find the solid preaching of both law and gospel in our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, Selected Sermons of Dr. Norman Nagel. The book is $24.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information, call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
The Oort cloud. Now, does it exist? Answers with Ken Ham, author of the book on effective evangelism called Why Won't They Listen? Well, Ken, I've heard astronomers talk about this Oort cloud, but what is it, and does it even exist?
Well, most secular astronomers believe that there's a vast belt far beyond the outermost planets that produces comets. They call this reservoir the Oort cloud, and amazingly, there's currently no evidence whatsoever of its existence. Now, you might be wondering, why do secular astronomers believe in an Oort cloud? Well, the answer has to do with comets and the age of the solar system. Comets are balls of ice and dirt, and they spend most of their time far away from the sun, but occasionally they come very close to it. And every time this happens, some of its icy material is blasted away by the solar radiation. That means that comets can only orbit the sun for so long, perhaps 100,000 years at the most, before they completely run out of material. Yet secular astronomers believe the solar system is 4.5 billion years old. Since comets can't last that long, secular astronomers must assume that new comets are created to replace those that are gone. So they invented the idea of an Oort cloud, even though there's no evidence for one. You know, comets are consistent with the fact that the solar system is young.
What about UFOs and extraterrestrial life? We examine those fascinating topics in a free booklet available on our website, AnswersRadio.com.
This is Dr. John Tape with the Media Minute. We've all told our children not to talk to strangers. It is good for our children to be cautious in meeting new people. Yet, such a healthy caution can sometimes develop into an irrational fear. According to the American Psychiatric Association, children who watch the most violence in the media frequently begin to view the world as a meaner and more dangerous place than it really is. Some children develop an unrealistic fear of being hurt. This mean world syndrome is especially prevalent with younger children. Teach your young children to be cautious among strangers, but also remind them that God loves them. He sent Jesus to die for them, and He also created a big, beautiful world for them to live in. This Media Minute is brought to you by the Christian Media Literacy Institute. Please visit our website at cmli.org.
Have you tried and failed to live a purpose-driven life? Do your attempts to live a life that is pleasing to God fall so far short that you'd rather stay home from church? Then join Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church in Freeburg, where the focus isn't on you, but on Christ, who was made sin for you so that you might become the righteousness of God in Him. Christ Our Savior Lutheran Church is located at 612 North State Street in Freeburg. Their phone number, 618-539-5664. Got some marvelous shows coming up in the next couple of days here on Issues Etc. Headed into Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Tomorrow on the program, a fitting subject for Maundy Thursday, the Lord's Supper. Pastor Matt Harrison of LCMS World Relief and Human Care will be our guest to talk about that. Those are 2 hours you do not want to miss. Some of the very best on the Lord's Supper, including phone calls from our listeners all over the country with Pastor Matt Harrison. Now, also the next day, Good Friday, an altogether new hymn study. The hymn is called The Lamb. Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemel, Illinois, will be our guest to study this hymn on Good Friday. We'll spend a good portion of that conversation also talking about Good Friday, what makes it good, and why do Christians celebrate it? What is Good Friday really all about? That's coming up Friday on Issues, Etc. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest. We're looking at Franz Joseph Haydn, Seven Words of Christ from the Cross. He is founder of and musical director and conductor of the American Cantorei. The next one we're going to be looking at here, and of course we have to jump through them. I wish we could do all seven, but that would probably take all 3 hours. The next one we're going to be looking at are the simple words that Christ speaks in his last breath. It is finished. What do you have to tell us about this piece, and then lead into it, if you would?
Haydn himself said that this was the complete obedience. He had put it down in Latin as a caption on this particular little string quartet. Complete salvation, I have added. Complete obedience on the part of Christ, and he could look up to heaven and say, Father, salvation is complete. It is finished. In Latin, consummatum est. In German, es ist vollbracht. And I hope that those who speak other tongues out there listening to us can from their memory say John 19:30 in their own language. I know of passages in Johann Sebastian Bach. I thought we'd better come back and talk a little bit about Mr. Bach, Todd. But in the St. Matthews, in the St. John's, where he arranges, es ist vollbracht. It is brought to its consummation. That's in the Latin word. Consummatum est. And in the German, vollbracht. It's completely, thoroughly prepared. What's prepared? The Jew and the Greek are reconciled, lifted up to the Heavenly Father, and he says, they are one. Today it amounts to, here's a black man, a black woman. I should say it the other way. I turned that wrong, Todd. A black man and a white man. And he offers them up to the Father, holding them, saying, it is finished. Consummatum est, es ist vollbracht. Why are you in the streets fighting? Why are you in the courtrooms fighting one another? Why is there enmity? Don't you know you are lifted up? You are one people to the Heavenly Father? This is what Haydn is saying here. It was Jew and Greek at that time and earlier. It might have been a German and an Italian and a Frenchman against the Spanish, etc., etc. We're all lifted up. One people, one humanity, God's creation, now redeemed, the price was in blood, the price was the blood of the Son of God. Haydn is going to say that with meditation in his music. Because when he wrote for the chorus, this sixth word of Christ from the cross, he used these texts. I think it's just miraculous, his theology. He goes to John, the writer of the Hebrews, and John again in the 17th to do these words. He came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. Sacrifice and offering you do not want, but a body which you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, lo, I come to do your will, O God. In the volume of the book it is written about me, that I should fulfill your will, O God, I am content to do it. Yea, your law is within my heart, Holy Father, righteous Father, I have finished the work which you gave me to do, and now I come to you.
It's the Vermeer String Quartet in residence at Northern Illinois University performing the It Is Finished section from Franz Joseph Haydn's Seven Last Words of Christ from the Cross. We're looking through some of these words with Dr. Robert Baird of the American Contrari. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. Dr. Baird is founder, musical director, and conductor of the American Contrari. Dr. Baird will be narrating, and the Ariana String Quartet will be performing Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross at noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood, Missouri.
Todd, I have a real sentiment at this point. I don't think you realize, we haven't talked this over in our hours of rehearsal for this program, that my ministry, ordained ministry, well, it did really begin in Trinity Alton part-time in 1956. But from 1958 to 1960, that's where Concordia Maplewood is where my ministry began.
Really? I didn't know
and
that.
And this is my 50th year, kind of, from the graduating from the seminary, and that's, you know, so I'm going back home, if you will. Pastor Lou Enzer has been so warm and so welcoming to this whole thing for Good Friday. He's worked so hard for Good Friday to get many people there. He's having nursing homes or bringing people in buses and so on. We're going to have a wonderful time there.
Now, I have to ask then, because people who are familiar with the American Contrari are familiar with you via this program might wonder, when you started out as a young pastor, did you have any thought that you would spend the better part of your career bringing the church's music from the post-Reformation era, Bach and Haydn and Mendelssohn and all the others, back to the church through the choral things and through the kind of quartets and symphonies that we hear?
No, I need another hour. I shed tears on a tree out where the old log cabin, now the chapel stands there. I never thought of it that way. I'd go out there and cry in my first year at the seminary. Lord, do I go into the professional symphony or professional solo violinist, or do I become a pastor? And I had been raising that question all the way through my preparatory school at Concordia in Fort Wayne, and I guess it never became a real problem for me until I got to the seminary, and then I saw the two paths before me. Well, if I want a degree in music and preparation in violin, that's years of study yet. And if I go in the ministry over here on the right-hand side, that's a pathway for years of study. Oh, I knew about it, and I struggled with it. But then I finally just did the long road and combined them, you know, and I've been at it ever since, you know, Concordia Seminary, Concordia Maplewood, SIU Carbondale, Valparaiso University, and a conservatory in Tokyo. And here I am back in my 75th year of life doing this at Concordia Maplewood. I hope that people in the audience really feel welcomed and invited to come Good Friday to Concordia at noon. Now, if you can't come right at noon, come late and leave early, because we expect people, you know, to come from their lunch hour or from the bank or from the grocery store or whatever on an errand. Drop in for 15 minutes, but stay the whole 90, if you will, from beginning to end. It's going to, and there's going to be cake and coffee with cream afterwards.
That's, we're about to hear not a word. I would call this perhaps the Father's word after the death of his son. If there's, this is not an audible word, except that this is the earthquake. If Christ speaks his seven words, God answers at Christ's death by shaking heaven and earth and darkening the sun and everything else that takes place there. Tell us about what we're going to hear as Haydn interprets musically the event of the earthquake at Christ's crucifixion.
Just before Haydn treats that, he does treat the final word, the seventh word from the cross, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And then he gave up his spirit. I'm reminded of Bach. It's just a huge silence when that happens in the St. John's Passion. It's a breathtaking moment. All this from Luke 23. But then turning to the earthquake, he has a description of the temple as fast as you can and with full force and dynamic. For it was then that the miraculous things were happening all about him. Grave split, of course, we know that. And let me just read.
Well, before you do
okay.
This is the end.
This is the end.
This is the end of not only the biblical account of the crucifixion, then comes burial, but it's also the end as Haydn interprets the crucifixion through these words of Christ. And it ends in a frenzy.
In a frenzy.
Someone may go on noon on Friday and say, there it goes as fast as possible and with fullest force. There's a prayer and then there's a benediction.
That's right.
And they and someone who's unfamiliar with Good Friday might say, what have I just witnessed? And where's the resurrection? Why do we end there, boom, in this frenzy of Christ's death
I think
on Good
only,
Friday?
Only because the writers of the gospel ended there. And I know what Bach did. He took a chorale and opened up heaven, like, Lord, let us last thine own angels come. In effect, you know, Haydn doesn't have that. His theology isn't without that. If I think of his work, the Great Oratorio, which takes nearly 3 hours, for two choirs at the end, the concluding chorus, Todd, is by Haydn now, this is his closing chorus to the creation, is a choir in heaven, starting out with the orchestra, wonderful strains of praise and joy making to the Father who had created everything. And then the earth answers, and these two choirs begin dramatically to speak back and forth to each other with the trumpets going, with the horns going, with the timpani pounding, the strings bowing. This great, great hymn of praise goes to the Father in heaven. That's in his theology. Bach was brave enough to close both the St. Matthews and the St. John with a beautiful chorale, which looks into eternal life. Now, Haydn wasn't a chorale man. He was Catholic, if you'll remember. They didn't have the chorales quite like the Lutherans did. So he just ended here with the earthquake and was happy to do the vigil on Holy Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then came the resurrection. And he has resurrection music. And his credos are strong in his mass, with trumpets and with timpani and with horns and trombones, just beginning. It's not peculiar, actually. I don't want to say that, but it might seem strange to some that we end with the death of Christ here.
Is this and then I'm going to ask you to read this introduction.
Yes.
Is this the musical equivalent of the loud closing of the book that often happens in many churches right at the Good Friday service?
Yes.
As it closes the darkness service?
It has that effect. Again, without words, but with the music in full force, we shall hear that book close. That was my hand. But when you have a big book, it really makes a remarkable sound in a church. By the way, let me mention, Concordia Church's acoustics are A1. And the appointments in there, I think of Richard Kemmerer's paintings, Jr. That's Richard Kemmerer, Jr. on the mural on the Rarodust wall. I think of the wonderful windows that architect Rex Becker had done for that church. It's a beautiful church. It's right acoustic. They have wonderful parking, handicap facilities. Come on Good Friday.
All right. Read for us what Haydn put as an introduction to this piece, The Earthquake.
He quotes the scriptures here. The veil of the temple was rent in twain, the sun darkened, the earth quaked, the rocks were split open, the graves opened, and many bodies of the saints that slept arose. For truly this was the Son of God, whose voice then shook the earth, and yet once more he will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven.
That is the last piece from Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross, The Earthquake. Sounds like an earthquake, musical version of The Earthquake. Dr. Robert Barrett is our guest in the next few minutes. We have just a few minutes left here. Something you said during the break that I think people should at least appreciate as we leave this subject behind in the last hour of the program today, Dr. Barrett, and that is, whereas Bach is, of course, kind of the genius par excellence in bringing these matters, these scriptural passages to life, and Haydn is following his lead. Haydn is a wordsmith, too. He wrote these things that you have been introducing these pieces with, and it is not only brilliant poetry, but a marvelous theology melding together these passages of Scripture.
Well, I'm glad that you feel that way, Todd, and I can't say that my heart is any different. I'm just full of admiration, actually awe, that a man could choose the libretto from the Scriptures like he did and give these wonderful captions like he did, and then indeed write music first. Keep that in mind. The music for instruments came first, and 6 years later came the words, and it fit. He had to have them in mind in the Latin when he wrote for the orchestra and the string quartet.
We've talked about this before, but do we lack this kind of talent, creativity in service of the church like Bach and Haydn had because we lack musical talent or because our theology is not as rich as these men's theology obviously were?
I think it would be the latter, Todd. You know, we've got people around with great ability and great talent. Let me add, I think we don't know how to meditate quite like they did. We didn't know how to have devotion and adoration in the quiet of our heart, in the will of our mind and spirit, whatever all that is, that intangible thing that's within you, it's within me, every human being. It must come out some way. These people didn't have the distraction of TV and a football game and a basketball NCAA and a tournament and highways and buses and airplanes. So they sat at home and they made music to the glory of God in the cathedral right down the street from them.
Dr. Robert Barrett is founder, musical director, and conductor of the American Contrarai. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd, and thanks to Jeff behind that window over there. And I don't know, Craig is wandering around the KFUO studios somewhere. Thanks to Craig and all of
you. He'll be back to bring us to a close. Dr. Robert Barrett will be narrating, and the Ariana String Quartet will be performing Haydn's Seven Words of Christ from the Cross at noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood. Be sure to attend that special service with Dr. Robert Barrett, noon this Friday at Concordia Lutheran Church in Maplewood. Tomorrow on the program, Pastor Matt Harrison will bring us a very special 2 hours as we discuss the Lord's Supper with him. And on Good Friday, we're going to be looking at a hymn study, this with Pastor Will Whedon of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, a new hymn, relatively new, that has been written actually by one of my classmates, one of Pastor Whedon's classmates, and has made its way into the church's life in a very powerful way. The hymn is called The Lamb, exploring the theme of Genesis 22, the binding of Isaac, the sacrifice of Isaac, and driving us straight to the Lamb himself, Jesus Christ, at the cross as the sacrifice, the one perfect final sacrifice, in the words of the hymn, for our sins and for our salvation. That's coming up Friday on Issues, Etc., a hymn study of that hymn, The Lamb. It's all new on Friday. We'll also be talking with Pastor Stuckwish, Pastor Richard Stuckwish, about the film The Passion of the Christ, and we'll end off Friday's program in the third hour with Dr. Arthur Just of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll be discussing the Passion accounts according to the Gospels. That's coming up Friday on Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.